Yes, another week. Let's see where to begin. You're listening to the College Try podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. I guess we could start with that. Wow. All right. So a lot to unpack here, as expected, right? We knew Florida State was maybe going to have a little bit of first game jitters. We knew this was going to be, you know, we knew that the next time we spoke, it was going to be about Florida State and how they looked. We knew that. It was the headlining act of week zero, which, by the way, week zero was great, but we'll get more into that in a minute. We knew that, hey, listen, it's a new season. You're in a jarring environment. You're playing a conference opponent that just finished with a winning record. So we knew that it wasn't going to be just some easy going for Florida State. I thought they were going to eventually pull away. Some thought it may be a trap game, whatever. And it was a trap game, all right. And Florida State fell right into it. Georgia Tech, game-winning, tie-breaking field goal as time expired to win 24-21 and give the Seminoles a loss to start the season. In what was supposed to be, despite the credit I give Georgia Tech, it was supposed to be one of Florida State's more winnable games. So look, let me just put it this way, okay? I feel about this loss for Florida State the same way I feel about the 63-3 loss to Georgia. And let me explain what I mean by that. A lot of people are giving them hate that they don't deserve, but Florida State still deserves some criticism, right? We can't ignore that. That was the takeaway from the whole Georgia thing in the Orange Bowl. A lot of people were like, ha-ha, this proves that you didn't deserve to be in the playoff, right, Florida State? And I'm sitting here saying, no, that's not correct at all. Because, first of all, there's multiple reasons, just in an argumentative, logical sense, as to why that does not hold up. The first one being, the committee didn't know, and no one knew, that Florida State was going to lose by 60 points at the time of them making their playoff decision. So, no, that doesn't change the argument. And you can make an entire argument for Florida State, in spite of the 63-3 nonsense. So, no, this is that the whole Orange Bowl loss was not the gotcha you thought it was when it came to Florida State not making the playoff. However, Florida State deserves criticism. 63-3, man, what are you doing? There's a reason it was such a historic loss. Florida State had no business losing that bad in a bowl game in their own home state, no less, after going 13-0. I don't care how many people set out. I don't care how unmotivated you were. Those points may be valid, but 63-3, you're embarrassing yourselves. You would have looked better if you just didn't show up. So while you don't deserve the hate that you get, you still deserve criticism. You still need to be held accountable for that performance. That was my thought with the Orange Bowl loss several months ago, and that's my thought with this whole Florida State-Georgia Tech thing. People are like, hey, you guys are frauds. You guys aren't going to make the playoff this year. Your season's already over, yada, yada, yada. I'm sitting here saying, no. It's not over yet. Right? The top takeaway should be that it's not over yet. This is why the expanded playoff format that we have starting this season matters so much. Because Florida State can lose a game like this early in the season to what could potentially end up being yet another mediocre Georgia Tech team. And it may not keep them out of the playoff. This would have been a death sentence last year. That was the top story. This would have been a death sentence last year. It's not this year. So I do want to say that for Florida State. I do want to say, hey, listen, the playoff stuff, it's getting old. The jokes don't matter now. They never matter. They certainly don't matter now. You're just clowning on social media at this point. But while you can say that in Florida State's defense and while you can advocate for their potential going forward, this is nonetheless an inexcusable loss for FSU. I don't want to take anything away from Georgia Tech. They played great, but that's the problem. A team built like Georgia Tech should not play great against FSU. They shouldn't. FSU's better on paper and has the better coach, the more proven coach. This is a better team. So why are you losing? It doesn't make any sense. And not only did you lose, this wasn't just some game between two giants and somebody had to take the crown. That's not what this was. Georgia Tech bullied you. Did you watch the game? I did. Florida State? One of the prime concerns for the Yellow Jackets was their rushing defense was pretty lackluster last year. It like sucked in the ACC conference rankings last season. Florida State, there were several times that they were just getting stuffed. Georgia Tech wasn't giving them anything. And then when Georgia Tech moved the ball, they couldn't be stopped. I mean, they were on both sides of the ball, physically better than Florida State, and they controlled the game. I want to say it was their go-ahead drive in the second quarter that Florida State let Georgia Tech run 8 minutes off the clock. 8 minutes off the game clock. And how did that drive end? In a touchdown. It ended in a touchdown. You let them take over half a quarter? And you still let Georgia Tech score? To go ahead? I'm almost positive that was the go-ahead drive in the second quarter. That's just pathetic. So Florida State, your season's not over when it comes to just losing a game. However, if you continue to field a team like that, yeah, your season probably is over. Your season probably is over. But objectively, great game. Georgia Tech played phenomenal. I don't think anyone actually expected them to bully Florida State physically like that. So congrats to the Yellow Jackets. And that was just the first of what was several great games for week zero. There were four major teams playing, and the three best were Florida State, Georgia Tech, Montana State, New Mexico, and SMU, Nevada. So three of the four major games were nail biters, great games, going down to the wire, and it was just against teams that you would not have expected. You wouldn't have expected Florida State to go down to the wire like that and lose to Georgia Tech, but they did. SMU, in the fourth quarter, I believe, against Nevada, was down 24-13. They came back to win 29-24. I think that was the final, right? Yeah, because I think they took a lead, and I think they may have gotten a safety. It was a whole ordeal. A comeback win. Speaking of comeback wins, New Mexico got out to like a 17-0 lead over Montana State. They had a 31-14 lead going into the fourth. They allow the fourth quarter to be completely dominated by the Bobcats. The Bobcats scored 21. The Montana State Bobcats scored 21 unanswered points. Outscored the Lobos 21-0 in the fourth to win 35-31. So three of the four major games we had were just unbelievable. Unbelievable games there. But back to this Florida State situation. People are talking about how telling of a loss it is. I don't think we're going to know until this upcoming week when they face Boston College on Labor Day Monday. That is when we're going to know how telling it is, because that's when we are going to see how a Florida State team plays in their domain against what is supposed to be another mediocre opponent, and they now have a matchup under their belt. So Florida State's going to be in all the more comfortable of circumstances, and they're going to be all the more battle-tested. If Florida State struggles against Boston College, forget losing. If they struggle, and yes, if they lose, my goodness, that's when we're going to be able to call, as I would say, the time of death on Florida State. That's when we're going to say, okay, they're done. This team is not competitive at all. There is virtually no potential for this team whatsoever. So Boston College is the telling game for Florida State now. Can you bounce back and demolish them? Can you beat them 45-17? I want to see something like that. They've got a dual threat QB. They made a bowl last year. I think they finished with a winning record. So, you know, if you can beat the snot out of them, beat them by, I would like to see four touchdowns. I want to see you come out and send a message against BC. I want BC to be scared to play you. If I'm a Florida State fan, I want my Seminoles to have the Eagles scared to face us, because I want my Seminoles out there, out for blood, ready to send a message and remind everybody what we're all about. But if you can't do that, and if you win by six in a low-scoring game, or you can't stop a breeze and you squeak past them 45-42, or if you, heaven forbid, lose to Boston College as well, we might just have to wrap up your season at that point. Speaking of games that are coming up this week, this is the real meat of what we need to talk about here. There are five games this weekend, top five, that catch my attention that I wanted to touch on here. Starting with, we're going to go in order. We've got two games kicking off at 11 on Saturday. We got a couple games throughout this week, Thursday, Friday, like Colorado plays North Dakota State. We got North Carolina playing Minnesota. Those are like some good games there, but you know, ranked teams. They're not high-profile matchups. They don't really tip the scale. It would be cool to see a competitive game on a Thursday, no less, between North Carolina and Minnesota. It'd be cool to see North Dakota State get an upset over Colorado, especially with how much of a head-turner Colorado has been. If North Dakota State were to get their season started like that, that would be unbelievable. Huge win for the program there. Even if Colorado isn't some objectively great team, that would nonetheless be a big stage for them to show up on. So we do have some good games leading up to the weekend. But the weekend itself, of course, is going to have the biggest stuff because Saturday, August 31st, this upcoming Saturday, is when it just all lets loose. We've got five games here that I want to talk about in particular. Two of them get underway at 11 a.m. Your Saturday morning is going to be loaded. Listen to this. At 11 a.m., we've got two games kicking off that I'm really psyched for. Number 14, Clemson, and number 1, Georgia, face off in Atlanta. The AFLAC kickoff. Those two facing off at 11 a.m. That gets your first full Saturday of college football started. And at the same time, we're going to have number 8, Penn State, traveling to Morgantown to face West Virginia. That's a team they've got some history with, and West Virginia is one of those more underrated teams. West Virginia won 9 games last year, and they're not an easy place to play. Penn State's going there, a dicey Morgantown, to open the season? Come on. So two phenomenal games to get you started in the morning. I want to touch on this. I want to give some analysis on the game. Starting with Clemson and Georgia, I don't just want to say who I think is going to win, because we're not going to be here very long if I do. And that's especially evident when it comes to Georgia-Clemson. Georgia's going to win that football game. That's how it is. Georgia's winning. If they don't, then everyone's going to be looking at Clemson as number 1 team in the nation. They're the team to beat until further notice. They're national champs until further notice. That's how people are going to look at Clemson. The hype train for Clemson would be Colorado on steroids. It would be something you wouldn't believe if Clemson were to somehow pull this off. But I think especially after the 28-7 in their season opener last season, their 28-7 loss to Duke is what I think really just scared a lot of people away from Clemson and really put the nail in the coffin on their whole dynasty. So I just don't see Clemson winning this. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is nothing about Clemson that implies to me they're for real, or that they're on the up and up, or they're coming back from the dead. I'm not seeing anything about that. I mean, they've lost some offensive firepower. Will Shipley was a big part of their backfield. He's gone. And then Cade Klubnik, we've seen he's not an elite QB. As I said, he's good. You got to be good to play at Clemson, but he's not elite. And their transfer portal woes are still a thing. Dabo's still stubborn on that. And just how they've done these past couple of years. It's just, you're not even a consistent contender in the ACC. How can I expect you to be a consistent contender against Georgia in Georgia's home state? You're in Atlanta. I'm sure Clemson will travel well, but I'm sure Georgia's going to travel all the better. So I can't look at Clemson and take them seriously in this game. However, it is, I mean, this is the time you're going to beat them. If you're Clemson and you're looking to beat Georgia, especially where you are as a program today and where they are, this is your time to do it. You're going to be away from Athens and you're facing Georgia. They're not really knowing what to expect. They're not really battle tested at all. First game jitters for them as well. The Georgia Tech, Florida State situation, essentially. That's what Clemson's looking to capitalize on. And they've got a very physical defense. They've had that for a little while. I don't know how well that's going to contain Georgia. Georgia's more of a defensive-minded team as well. We applaud them for their defense more, just like we do Clemson. So this could be a low-scoring matchup. I think the last time these two played, Georgia won, 10-3? It could be one of those. I hope it's not that boring, but I could see it being a game where Georgia's kind of got to wake up a bit. But I just see Georgia pulling away from this one. I'll give them I'll say that Clemson gives them a scare. And Georgia doesn't win quite like they should, because we've seen Georgia early in the season struggle a bit. So I will give Georgia a double-digit win here. I'll say 28-13. That's what I'll say. I'll give that 28-13 dogs. They put up some points. Clemson, it looks competitive on paper. Clemson didn't let Georgia run away with it. May get out slow, but Georgia pulls away and doesn't leave any doubt there. And it's a statement win. It's enough to keep people thinking, hey, good for Georgia. But it's not some beatdown. I think it's going to be like that. So 28-13 Dogs. Give me that. And if anyone's got a problem with that, you're lucky I'm giving Clemson that much of a chance. Georgia is just on another level. And Clemson, as I said, we've seen their decline. So we'll go with that one. Penn State at West Virginia. Man, this one's huge. All right. Penn State. What, they win 10 games last year? West Virginia, as I said, won 9, I think. On the road. Oh, man, do I take the upset here? That is such a huge game. I think I'm going to take Penn State. I don't think I'm going to bite the hook on an upset. I think I'm going to take Penn State, and I will take them beating West Virginia. But it's going to be close. I'll say 30-24. I'll say that. I think Penn State's really going to struggle here. West Virginia is going to give them a scare and a half. I mean, that's crazy. Then here, this is the only matchup we're covering from the weekend that doesn't have two ranked teams in it. Miami's ranked. They're 19th, but Florida is not. So Florida's very lucky to be in this conversation. We touch on Florida teams anyway, of course. You know how we do it here. But Florida went 5-7 last season, so they're lucky to be up here with some of these big dogs. Actually, I lied. West Virginia's not ranked either. I forgot about that. West Virginia should be ranked, though. Florida, no one's questioning why they're ranked, or why they're not, rather. But anyway, back to me stumbling over my words aside, let's get back to the game here. Miami at Florida. This is another iffy one. It's a rivalry game. It's in Gainesville. So Florida, I mean, they gave Utah trouble just a couple years ago, and that Florida team wasn't any good. That Florida team finished, what, 6-7? I mean, that team wasn't any good, and they started the season beating Utah. Right? Well, Miami's not as good as Utah's been. So, and this has rivalry implications, so it's going to be all the more chaotic. Florida, I could definitely see them winning this game. But, oh my gosh, I think this is a very telling game for Florida. Right? Like, if Clemson, and this is what I mean by telling. Clemson loses to Georgia, that's not telling. Penn State gets stunned by West Virginia, that's kind of telling. It tells us that Penn State is still going to be good at best. That's what they've been these past few years. But Miami and Florida, it's telling in the sense of, I think Florida, if they win, this could be eventually a very saving win for them as far as getting them to the postseason, giving them a chance to play for a winning record, Billy Napier keeping his job for a little bit longer. I think it's in that realm of meaning. I think if Florida wins this game, and if they are able to play consistency at the level required to do so over the course of this season, I think they can beat some of the other go-either-way games. I think they can beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M hasn't proven anything, and they've got a first-year head coach. Samford sucks. They're an FCS team. Florida should be able to handle them. If not, we got problems. Mississippi State, new head coach, didn't go bowling last year. UCF, I think, finished with a losing record. Florida hosts them. Kentucky, Florida gets to host them. Kentucky's had Florida's number, but they themselves went 7-6. They're not great, and they're going to the swamp. So there are several games that Florida can win that can get them bowl eligible. And this would be the first start to that. This is one of those go-either-way games. And if you look at Florida's schedule, outside of the Samford game, which is always supposed to be a gimme, it's either gray area or for sure loss. That is what Florida's schedule consists of. That's why everyone expects them to stink. So this could be a huge, huge note to start the season off for Florida. But do I think they're going to do it? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Miami wins this one. I'm going to say it's a weird score. I'll give it to the Canes 22-20. How's that sound? I'll say that's a close game. Miami and Florida duking it out. Miami maybe takes a late lead, or Florida maybe tries to do something, or they try to go for it on fourth down to keep the game alive and not quite, you know, maybe just some weird scoring like that. I'll give it to Miami, 22-20. Then we've got another one. We're back in the rankings here. Number 7, Notre Dame at number 20, Texas A&M. This is the battle of the overrateds, in my opinion. I don't think we have any game here between two teams as clearly overrated as these two. If you listened a couple weeks back, when we were touching on our reaction to the AP preseason top 25, I think it was our first episode, Notre Dame and Texas A&M were the two of the teams that I harped on the most. I said, man, Notre Dame hasn't done anything to be in the top 8. Are you kidding me? I always hear about this Marcus Freeman. Oh, he's such a great coach. He's so great. Is he? He's good, but he inherited a good job by a coach that was already pretty darn good, Brian Kelly. And he's had a 9-win season and a 10-win season. And he's had some darn good talent to get him there. So how am I supposed to look at this guy and say he's like some once-in-a-lifetime talent at head coach? No, he's not. Winning 9-10 games at Notre Dame doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything over the last 10 years. You think it means anything all time? Absolutely not. So I don't know why we're talking about this guy as if he's some, like, as I said, all-time icon. He's not. He's a good coach. Notre Dame's a good team until further notice. And then you got them going to Kyle Field. It's one of the toughest places to play in America. Texas A&M is number 20. I don't know if anyone's underachieved quite like they have with all the talent that they've had. Mike Elko is a great head coach. I think Mike Elko is a more proven head coach than Marcus Freeman. I think until further notice, I'm willing to say he's better than Marcus Freeman. But he's just now getting back to A&M. This is his first game. And he's going to be facing the QB he had at Duke, Riley Leonard, because Notre Dame took him from the Blue Devils. So this is going to be a pretty interesting game. Good storylines here. Two teams trying to prove that, hey, we're not overrated every season. And it's the reunion between Leonard and Elko that they never thought they would have. So this is a very good one, and it's in one of the most electric stages in college football. My goodness, Kyle Field's unbelievable. So do I think Notre Dame's going to go in there and beat the Aggies? Man, that is tough. And that's what makes these games so fun to call, because they are. They're really tough to decide, because you see the strengths of both teams, but you see their flaws as well. I would argue that this just might be the toughest game to call. I can't believe I'm sputtering here like this. Notre Dame and A&M. I'll take the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to win this game. I'll take them to beat A&M. Oh no, I don't know. Forget it. If I can't call it, I'll take Notre Dame. That was the first team I decided with. I'll take Notre Dame. I have them winning this game 31-24. That's what I'll say. We have a 30-24 here with Penn State and West Virginia. 31-24 for Notre Dame there. That is a tough game to call. That's one I think whenever I do this, because this probably isn't going to be the only time I do this over the course of the season, I'm probably going to take one of these games in every handful and say, I could be wrong here. That's probably going to be that game. That is tough to call. That's tough as nails. And lastly here, we've got USC and LSU. This game's going on in Las Vegas. This is arguably between two overrated teams as well. I don't think it's as blatantly overrated as the Irish and Aggies, but USC and LSU, USC just went 8-5. They are 23rd in the country right now. Lincoln Riley is, I don't know if I've ever seen a man do so much with a team, all for it to result in so little. And then you got LSU. Brian Kelly's in a very similar boat with him. LSU just had a Heisman winner, but they lost him. They're coming off a 10-win year, but once again, new-look team. I'm going to take LSU to win this game. I think LSU is just all the better built of a team right now, because they're a team that's built for NFL production currently. They're a team that's built for Heisman winners. So is USC. But, I don't know. I look at that team from head to toe. It can have a high-powered offense at times. It can have a high-powered offensive playmaker here and there. You know, look good on the stat sheet here and there. I think LSU's a more complete team. I know that's not very analytical, but I just get that feel off of them. And they're SEC made. They're coming out of a tougher conference. They do play tougher competition. I'd rather you win 10 games if you're playing Alabama every year than I would you win 8 games if you were playing in the Pac-12 last season. So it's a very tough look. I think this is just a matter of completeness and readiness for this type of stage, this type of game. And I don't think USC is going to be able to go toe-to-toe with LSU, especially post-Caleb Williams. I think LSU is going to survive their post-Jaden Daniels better than USC is going to survive the post-Caleb Williams. But I could be wrong. I could definitely be wrong. But I think LSU's defense is going to be a difference maker here. I'll take LSU. I don't know. Maybe 34-28. I'll take LSU 34-28 there. May not even be that high scoring of a game, at least not for the Trojans. But we'll toss that score in there as well. But this is just, I mean, and that game's on a Sunday, by the way. That game is Sunday evening. So this is just a very loaded slate. And of course, we touched on the Boston College FSU thing. You know what? I didn't give a score up or a score prediction on that. I just said that Florida State better win. I think that Florida State will. All, you know, eagerness for them to get it together aside and all people pushing the panic button aside, I think Florida State will get this win. It was a whole thing about they opened as like 3-possession favorites, I think, and that was after the Georgia Tech loss. So, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure that spread has changed and it's going to as we get closer to the game. I'm sure it's probably going to narrow some. But FSU, they are a good team. They are well built. People have been giving their quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, a lot of hate because of his college career. It hasn't been great. I get that. And he's played for some great coaches. He's played for some good teams. So for him not to have a better career and for him not to have made a better name for himself is very alarming. I get it. But man, I think Florida State is going to wake up. I think Florida State's going to wake up and they're going to get it together. I don't think they're going to lose to Boston College. And people mentioned, oh, well, it was a close game last year. I saw somebody talking about that. Dude, yeah, it was, but that was last year. That was on the road. That was, and the thing is, Florida State was up 31-10. I think the final score was 31-29, and Florida State got out to a slow start. But in the meat of that game, you don't remember when Florida State had like a 3-touchdown lead and they blew it. So if Florida State can get a lead here and just not blow it, the game's theirs. It's not as much a matter of Florida State just being incapable of pulling away from the Eagles. Wasn't that case last year? I don't think it'll be that case now because Boston College just isn't that great of a team, simply put. I think I know that doesn't mean much based on Georgia Tech doing to them what they did, but Florida State should just be better. And I know, once again, that's not analytical, but you are such a better-built team. You are so much more proven. You have the better coach, yada, yada, yada. I think Florida State is just, from head to toe, the better power here. So I'll take a Florida State win. I'll say they win 35-13. I'll say that. I'll say 35-13 Noles there. So those are your top games of the week. And they, as I said, those bleed from Saturday over to Monday. We do have a couple of games, once again, on Thursday, especially. Thursday's like a real full slate. Friday's got a handful of games, and then we get into the real action over the weekend. And, you know, a lot of teams, they're going to be playing some smaller schools, right? I think Ole Miss plays Furman. I know my own Wake Forest Demon Deacons play on Thursday. They play North Carolina A&T. So it's like, you know, you got some of these schools playing smaller fish. I will say, if I have to give an upset of the week or upset alert, here's one for you. Give me Michigan and Fresno State. I'm going to sound like an idiot. I really am. I'm going to sound stupid. But give me the Bulldogs, not necessarily to win, but to give Michigan a scare. Michigan, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. And if I haven't said it to another person, I've said it in my bathroom mirror. Michigan is good. They are not great. Fresno State is at the pinnacle of Group of Five football right now. It's a season opener. It's going to be as chaotic as ever. Do not sleep on the Bulldogs there. That team's not a joke. Do not sleep on them. I mean, they're not, as I said, they're not some like insane team. They're not, I'm not saying that they're gonna just punch Michigan in the mouth and never look back. That's not what I'm saying. But Michigan is getting way too much love. They're in the top 10. I think 99% of the reason is because of what they did last year. They're good, but they're going through an identity shift right now. They're hosting the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs are known for giving teams hell, giving them trouble. Michigan's not untouchable. Not anymore. So keep an eye on that one. That's going to be huge. I can't, that's just one of those that's lingering around on your Saturday that could cause you a bit of trouble. But all right, so just to recap here, Clemson in Georgia, I got Georgia winning 28-13. Penn State, West Virginia, I got Penn State taking it 30-24. Miami at Florida, give me the Canes 22-20. Notre Dame and Texas A&M, give me Notre Dame 31-24. Could be wrong on that though. LSU, I got them beating USC 34-28. And I got FSU beating Boston College 35-13. This has been the College Try Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. every Tuesday night. Should be the time that we're doing this every week. Take care, everyone. Have a good night. We'll see you next Tuesday.